You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Sarah Stoller. Sarah, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having me again.
Sarah, last time we talked, which was over a month ago, of course, we weren't in the middle of this pandemic, and today our subject is going to be your mother, which we briefly touched on last time, but we want to talk more about today. I also want to ask you a little bit about what's happened between then and now for you, because I know you were on your way with a grief project that we were talking about last to Ireland. So So what happened with that? Just before we get into all of what's happening with your mother and more, was that project canceled? What happened? Because it's an enormous amount of things have happened in a month.
Yeah. So when we were talking last, I was getting ready to leave and go to Ireland to Cowhouse Studios for my residency. And I did go and I did complete the residency, but while I was there, all of the travel restrictions were set into place, and there was kind of, that's like when everything kind of like hit the fan. And so I was really blessed in the sense that I was in the middle of the country with about 10 people and nobody had any symptoms. So I was really kind of in a safe place. I completed my residency, but wasn't able to do any of the research. I wanted to go to the traditional music archive in Dublin and research the Wailing Women and listen to some recordings. And I had this kind of Dublin and Germany trip planned and had to cancel that part. So I look forward to hopefully going back soon to complete it. The project isn't stopping. I'm still working and drawing and editing video, and the project's growing and things are happening, but that was really disappointing to have to leave. It was really weird. Just on a side note, I was in Dublin the day before St. Patrick's Day, and it was empty. The streets were empty. It was really bizarre, very surreal, like being on a movie set or something.
Wow, yeah, that is such an extraordinary situation. So, I assume those plans are on hold to the future, and you're working at other things at home now. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. I just am really diving into some drawing and large-scale portraits that are representative of the personification that we were talking about last time. And just to touch on it real quick, for anyone who didn't listen last time, is I'm personifying the five stages of grief as these kind of party girl women. So who work in this fictitious club. So I'm just kind of turning my direction to that right now and diving into my studio time. I also kind of have this little side project going where I'm sewing masks. I just kind of joined the revolution of mask makers. So I spend some time doing that as well. And also becoming an online teacher, bringing the entire art department at UNM Taos online. So, yeah, it's been quite the journey over the past few weeks.
It sure has. Well, I'm glad to hear you're working on that, too. That's a great effort for artists to join in on, and everyone, really. So let's talk a little bit about your mother. I know she's done some extraordinary things and also influenced you.
I want to say thank you for inviting me back to talk about her, because one of the things that I'm dealing with right now, or, you know, internal struggles that I'm dealing with right now, is this understanding that of women artists who have these tremendous careers and then they just kind of maybe never get to where they want to be and then are just forgotten about. And so I'm working on her archive right now and want to put a book together so her work and legacy isn't lost in history.
So tell me a little bit about her work and legacy as you're putting this together. That's a lot of work to do, and of course, a kind of wonderful thing to do an homage in a way. I mean, part of my interest in hearing about your mother is I've been reading a lot of memoirs lately, trying to write one of my own, and there's different ways I think we pay homage to our parents, whether they did a lot of extraordinary things as your mother did or not. So I'm kind of fascinated by that. So tell me a little bit more about what about her. Where should we start? Because she's done a number of things that have had lasting impact.
Yeah. So I guess I'll say that I'll start with that my mother was an artist her entire life, and she. The work and archive that I have slides going back to the early 60s, and she really persevered considering that time in history and ended up at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and was a double major in painting and ceramics, and she's that woman that you hear about, that woman artist who like sat outside of the art studio of the male artists until somebody let her in, and that's basically what she did in the ceramics department. She was the only woman at the time who double majored and just refused to take no for an answer. So she has been this tenacious and very kind of outspoken and goal-setting type of woman her entire life.
Let me just stop you right there for a second, because it's kind of... extraordinary, of course, that, you know, some people know this and don't, who don't have that history. But at this time, and we're talking like 60s or 70s, women were really kind of shut out of the art world, academically as well as otherwise. There were some that got in, of course, but it was through, you know, extraordinary persistence. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the advice that she gave me over the years was often, I mean, as kind of this third wave intersectional feminist now, I don't think I would give some of the same advice, but I understand why she was telling me to do the things that I do. Like, one of the things she said to me that I'll never forget is when I started undergrad was paint big. If you want to keep up with the big boys, if you want attention, you're going to have to make big canvases. And so, you know, now I think that we can make whatever we want in whatever scale we want, and it's different, but I think she was right and at the time, and I appreciated the advice.
Let's move forward with her career for then. So then, of course, she graduated with a double major?
Yeah, she did, and she put her master's degree on hold to raise children, and she moved through three marriages and eventually did get her master's degree at the University of Cincinnati, where she taught, and also at the Art Academy of Cincinnati. But probably the most important thing that my mom did was start a school. It was called Shane Studios, and that's her maiden name and the name that she used for her artwork, except for a few early pieces signed with my father's last name. And she started it in the basement of her house, and it was just to kind of provide some additional income and to bring young students in, mostly children, and provide after school activities for parents. And she would have this kind of like wine drinking Sunday painter group of women and the few men who would join, and she didn't really push them very hard. They would just kind of like paint and socialize. But the school ended up evolving into a brick and mortar space and was open for over 30 years. And kind of her specialty was that she continued to teach adults, of course, but she would work with young kids, and she would get them really young, like at maybe at 8 years old, and then work with them their whole life on art all the way through high school, building a portfolio, and ultimately entering them into the Scholastic's art and writing competitions, and then on to art school. And her students have gone on to go to some of the best programs in the country, and we have this kind of loose calculation. We don't really know exactly what the figure is, but it's close to $1 million in scholarship money over the 30 years that she's been mentoring, or she was mentoring students.
That's extraordinary. Let me just ask you a little bit about that. So, she's ushering in a new generation of artists and supporting them. All this scholarship money, where did that come from? How did she raise the funds for that? Can I ask about that?
Yeah, sure. It didn't come from her. It came from the schools. They would have these extraordinary wins with Scholastic's art competition. And every year she would place, you know, at least, I don't know, anywhere from 15 to 30 students in some kind of, anywhere from honorable mention all the way up to American Vision and Gold Key awards, and the students would show in New York and so forth. So it kind of started there. But the portfolios were so strong, and the awards were, there were so many awards with these students that when they would apply to school, they would get these fantastic scholarship opportunities from the school. So the money didn't come from my mom. It came from the institutions that the students went to.
Right. As a result of that education, they won these scholarships. I see. Yeah.
That's
fantastic. So go on.
She continued and was working right up until I guess it's been 2 years now since she's come to live with me, and you know, for a long time, I was very, very close with my mom. I was an only child until I was 11 years old, and I remember growing up in her studio. She taught at New Dimensions in Los Angeles when we lived in California, and I remember being a really little girl and going to figure drawing class and drawing the model with my mom when I was a child. I remember getting sad and crying because it didn't look like, you know, the older students' work, and I remember her consoling me.
And this is life drawing classes you were going to. You're working from a live nude model?
From a live nude model. I think I was like, I remember it must have been like 6 years old. It was a really early memory. I remember crying and because my model didn't, you know, the anatomy was wrong, clearly, because right. I was six. I remember her consoling me and telling me to just don't give up and keep practicing. And that was her mentorship to me. So we were very, very close. So I kind of always, I knew that something wasn't right. I knew that things were getting bad with my mom in terms of her memory and her organizational skills around her business. And there was a lot of denial, I think, and from everyone who loved her, her students, her friends, my brother and sister, her other family members, because my mom has always kind of been that kind of crazy, kooky artist woman. So,
well, she was an artist, and perhaps the, you know, eccentricities that come with that, but she was also ambitious and organized, in some respects, in terms of her career and her education, which was her business, correct?
That's right. Yes, that's right. And so things are getting bad. I knew it. When I went to the Women's March on Washington, when I came back through Cincinnati, because I went with friends from Cincinnati, that's where she was living and where the school is. And I knew something wasn't right. And so I started to make plans to try to get her to move here with me. Eventually I had to take a really just drastic step. I just had to go and get her and make the hard decision to close. And I realize I haven't even said why. She has Alzheimer's, and it's pretty advanced in terms of remembering who people are and family members and things like that. She doesn't remember where she went to school. But she draws every day still. So it was really important for me to get her to me, because I knew that she needed an art studio, that no matter what, she needed to have art supplies and an outlet and to be able to work. Because my mother is incredibly prolific, incredibly. And right now, she is, and I'll try to get in there to get a photograph of it, covering the walls of her casita, her apartment that we have for her that's attached to our house, in drawings, ink drawings from floor to ceiling. So
let me just make this clear. So she, because I really want to get into that more. She's drawing every day. And if I can ask, and I don't know a lot about Alzheimer's. What stage is she in? Is this early, late? I don't know exactly what those terms even mean. But.
Yeah, it's difficult because she really is in late stage, but because she's so brilliant and she still makes so much work that she'll have these moments of clarity that really don't classify as late stage. She's just fiercely
and by clarity, what's an example of that? Is it when she's talking about her work, or what kind of clarity?
Well, like, for example, before the pandemic happened, she, and before I went to Ireland, she came in my studio and just had this really lucid moment and gave me a critique on my painting. And it was like talking to her 10 years ago, you know, just really clear, using a lot of art vocabulary and really good suggestions on how to make the painting better. And it was, you know, it's harder. It's much harder on me than it is on her, because she'll forget. She'll just like walk out of the room and then forget that even happened. And so, so that's what I mean when I say that those kinds of moments of clarity. But then at the same time, I have this incredible video I took of her teaching me how to draw a box and telling me that if I practice hard enough, I can go up there to that college that I teach at and teach those kids how to do this. And it's literally a box. But it's very sweet in her like teaching and the way she's trying to teach me this very basic drawing skill.
Right. At the same time, what she was doing with the critique in your studio was much more advanced and sophisticated in terms of what she was saying. So she goes back and forth between these lucid moments of being, as you're saying, as she was years ago, and also not remembering or knowing what she's really teaching or saying at the moment, like forgetting who you are or friends are. Is that also happening?
Yeah, she hasn't forgotten who I am yet, which is thankfully, we're not there yet. But it's interesting. We have this really great artistic history in our family, especially as it connects to Cincinnati. We're related and in the lineage of the Rookwood Potters and of this painter from Germany, Adolf von Menzel. And so my mom carries around this book of Menzel paintings and drawings, and is copying his drawings from out of the book. And it's almost like I sense that she doesn't want to let go of what she does remember and what she's really proud of. Because she's always been, like ever since I was a little girl, she would tell me, you come from a family of artists. Like you are in a lineage. And this is something that she's just been really, really proud of, her teaching, her students. And so I think when she tries to teach me things or when she's carrying this Menzel book around, it's like she's grasping or trying to hold on to what was so important to her, which was art. That was the only thing,
well,
you know,
art
they will
and,
say.
And,
when
and the family history, of course. So I want to talk about her art and what she's making there, but I want to ask you just another question also about you know, it's such a hard thing for me to imagine and grasp, you know, the idea of Alzheimer's and experiencing that, and what it means to kind of hold on and try to maintain, you know, your mind. So in that process itself, which obviously she's approaching as an artist and an academic in many ways. Is she aware of that process itself, that she is kind of struggling with a mind that's betraying her?
No. She wants to drive. She wants to go back to Cincinnati desperately. And it doesn't come up a lot, but it does come up. And she wants to know where are the keys to her car. And we explain to her, you can't leave and you can't drive. And so I, you know, will say that you're having trouble with memory, and she gets very indignant and very upset about it and says that that's not true and there's nothing wrong with her. And but sometimes if she forgets something, she'll just kind of laugh about it if it happens in the moment. But if you can confront her about it or try to tell her that, she won't accept it. She just doesn't accept it.
But she's obviously accepting the love and support that you're giving her, which is more than you've ever given her, I imagine, in your life. So she's aware of that and able to accept that.
It's incredibly hard. I took a mortgage on my property and built an 800-square-foot studio in the back of my property that was supposed to be half for her, because when she moved here, we turned my personal art studio into an apartment for her. So we had to try something new, but she came out of a massive building. She had 4 art studios and a school. And so we brought all of that here. And unfortunately, like in the studio, my mom is, you know, a potter, as I said, and the studio is outfitted for a kiln and has this kind of like fireproofed room and the 220 hookup. And by the time the studio was done, I couldn't set it up for her. You know, it's like, Sam, I always often think of children who have parents who speak English as a second language who are mad at their parents for not teaching them the mother tongue. That's kind of how I feel about clay with my mom. Like, I can kind of throw a bad bowl and know how to hand build a little bit, but I don't know anything about the chemicals and the heat and how to fire. And so, like, her entire clay studio is in storage right now. And for a while, she was, like, really, really mad at me about that. She didn't understand why she couldn't have her clay studio.
And why couldn't she have her clay studio?
Because of
the space? Or, you know, you had it all set up.
No, we had the space. It was because of the knowledge around these technical processes and the glazing and the chemistry. It's just not my wheelhouse. I don't know how to help her do that. I had to break her oil painting station down because she was mixing paint thinner with water and Simple Green and trying to paint with that solution. So she was in here. We set up a drawing studio and painting studio in here for her. She painted for a little bit in oil. And then switched over to drawing, and that's where she's really been comfortable. And then she wanted to move out of the studio and into her bedroom, and I was trying to force the issue and keep her here. And then I realized that it was really just for me, that I wanted her next to me in the studio because she's so prolific in her bedroom, where she has this little desk.
So her bedroom isn't in her studio. It's a separate space.
It's like a casita studio apartment. And
right.
So she has a little kitchen.
Tell me about what she's making in there.
So she's
sleeping in there, living in there, right? Has a little, I guess, you know, kitchen or something. And then the studio, she's not drawing.
Space,
she's not painting or making ceramics. So what is she doing? And how is she painting on the walls? Because that sounds kind of amazing, and hopefully there will be images in this article, this interview of this.
Yes,
so
I'll get
tell me
too.
A little bit about that.
Well, she's not painting directly on the wall. She's covering them in these small drawings. So she's working on like 9x11 paper, Stonehenge paper, and with Sumi ink and a brush. And she is copying plants and birds and other animals, but mostly birds and plants, out of books. Botanical books and books on, she has all these source books that I brought from her school. And I would say like in 2 years, she's probably made, I don't know, 500 drawings at least. I mean, there has to be 200 on her wall right now. On her wall right now, there's probably about 50 drawings on her wall now. There's probably 200 in her studio now, and there's easily another couple hundred that I have in flat files in the studio. So when she first moved here, I would take her to school with me, and she would sit in my office and copy plants So she's they're beautiful. I mean, they're beautiful. They're all with a tiny brush and Sumi ink, and then, but it's like her skill is, it's the de-skilling. It's, I was joking around with some friends and saying it's a good thing that kind of de-skilling in art is this popular mode of art making right now, because that's kind of what's happening, not by choice. Her ability to represent, to work representationally and realistically is declining. So the birds have these interesting, naive kind of qualities to them, but then she layers them with patterns and color and fills them in with marks and lines. And so, yeah, they're really, really interesting. They're really interesting.
And how does she feel about these? When she looks at these, or if you talk to her about them, what does she say? Is she happy with the drawings that she's making? How does she feel about them?
She is happy with them. It's funny. It's really cute. She started cross hatching some lines and then, you know, gets really excited about it. And then will tell me like, I just figured this out. I don't even know how I did it. I just came up with this idea. And I'm like, Mom, you are an artist your whole life. You went to the School of the Art Institute.
You mean cross hatching was what she feels like she invented cross hatching essentially.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really sweet. She also has kind of typical artist breakdowns. I think I'll be taking out her garbage and I'll find these like ripped up bird drawings in the trash, which there's I think they're fine. They're not really any different than the other ones that she's done, but obviously something inside her decided that it was a bad drawing, and so she got
so
rid
she
of it.
So she throws out some, but obviously not others. She's making that distinction.
Yeah. It's really, I'm just really glad that she's still making art. I'm not sure she'll ever stop making art. I think that she'll have to forget how to hold a brush before she stops making art. It was devastating to me to break down the oil painting station, because my mom has been my best teacher. She's my, has been my art teacher and mentor my whole life. And the oil painting, because of what she's always told me about our history and lineage and watching my mom do these big oil paintings. I remember, you know, being really little and sitting in her studio and seeing these big figurative oil paintings. And she also worked in photorealism when it was really popular, I guess. When was that? I guess that was like the 80s. And so her skills were really, really good. And she taught me my, you know, most basic things. When I went into the Art Academy, I came in a semester late and just kind of fast-tracked right into those classes because of the mentorship of my mom. And she actually ended up teaching at my undergraduate school at 1.2 when I wasn't there. And so the oil painting, for me, even though I'm interdisciplinary and do all this different work, I still consider myself first and foremost an oil painter, and it's really important to me to carry on the tradition of oil painting and to teach it to students. And so, I can even feel myself getting misty when I talk about it and think about her not working in oil in that day that I had to break the painting station down. She didn't even notice. She didn't remember that it was there and never asked about it and hasn't since, not once. All of her brushes, all of her paint, her palettes is all merged in with my stuff. And so there's this interesting experience I have when I'm working, when I pick up certain things and I know that it belonged to her, or this is the jar that held the brushes on my mom's table for 25 years, or, you know, so.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Sarah, for talking about her and sharing this. It's, I'm so glad we talked again, and I think it's just so powerful to discuss this. And I want to ask you the question I always ask at the end, which is, what are you reading now?
Yeah, I'm reading I've got two different things going on right now. I just started Ninth Street Women. I kind of feel a little guilty that I haven't read it yet. So that I just started. And I also kind of sifting through a book called Against Our Will. It's about sexual trauma in American art since 1970. So it's tough. So that's a slower one. But I'll send you the links to both books.
Sarah, thank you so much for talking with me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.